It is the fourth Sunday of Advent. It's almost here, folks. And so finally, the lectionary turns our attention from the eventual return of Christ to his first coming. And because this year we are reading the gospel according to Matthew, we get Joseph's story and his encounter with an angel in a dream. But before Matthew actually tells us that story, he gives us a quick history lesson, which we did not read this morning. And this history lesson is a genealogy running through the ancestors of Jesus, beginning from Abraham, all the way down the begats through to David, and then all the way down the begats through to Joseph, the husband of Mary. And this genealogy is full of wonderful stories evoked with just a name. And it includes, most irregularly, a number of women, not normally listed in the family trees in the Bible. Also, a number of non-Jews, interesting ancestors for the king of the Jews. And some people whose reputations might suggest they would be better stricken from the official record. But they are all there, because the family of Jesus includes all the people. Sadly, we don't really have time this morning to get into all of those stories, so we're going to jump to the end. The genealogy finishes with, "And Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born." And this is how Jesus gets into the line of Joseph, which is the line of David. And since Jesus is the whole point of the line of David, from Matthew's perspective at least, Joseph must be in the line of Jesus. Jesus and Joseph belong to each other, which really wouldn't be worth making much of a fuss about, except for the questionable nature of Jesus' parentage, which makes this relationship of father and son far from a sure thing. Joseph could have refused it. He would have been well within his rights to do so. In fact, Matthew tells us that this is exactly what Joseph had resolved to do, to quietly and discreetly break off the engagement. He was a righteous man, after all, but also a generous one. He could have made a fuss. But then the angel came to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Have you ever noticed that people don't usually tell you not to be afraid unless there's something to be afraid of? So if you weren't scared before they reassured you, you probably are afterwards. And indeed, the angel is asking Joseph to do something that requires a certain amount of bravery, that entailed a certain amount of risk, that would exact an unknown price. He was being asked to claim Jesus as his own and to give himself to Jesus and to a woman who may or may not be trustworthy. He was being asked to choose to be Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. And all that he knew was that God was involved somehow. This baby was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever that might mean. And this baby would save his people from their sins, whatever that might mean. But whoever it was that had made the match between Mary and Joseph had known what they were doing when they brought together these two brave, faithful people, because just like Mary, Joseph said yes. Now, perhaps for obvious reasons, I've never been asked to preach on this passage for a wedding, but I really want to. The Holy Family is chosen family. Mary and Joseph each saying yes to an invitation by God to do God's will and dedicating themselves to each other and to this unborn baby. And so years later, when this baby is all grown up and declares that those who do God's will are his true brothers and sisters and mother, well, where do you suppose he might have learned that lesson? We only see Joseph a few more times in any of the gospel accounts. In Matthew's book, Joseph continues to be the Holy Family's direct line to God. The angel comes back to Joseph in another dream to warn him to take his family and flee to Egypt in order to save Jesus from King Herod's slaughter of Bethlehem's babies. And then some years later, the angel returns to Joseph in yet another dream to assure him it is safe to return his family to their home. In Luke's book, which is generally less terrifying than Matthew's, Joseph takes Mary and Jesus to the temple to observe the various religious ceremonies required of them, teaching Jesus what it means to be a good, faithful Jewish man. He is not present in any of Jesus' adult ministry, although he is remembered by others as being the father of Jesus, and tradition holds that he must have died before Jesus began his public life, which seems to make sense. But it seems to me also that we can see Joseph, along with Mary, reflected in the shape of Jesus' teaching, because they belong to each other. And now on this last Sunday of Advent before Christmas, this is what I invite you to think about. Are you prepared to share in Joseph's yes, to claim Jesus as your own, and to give yourself to him? Not just at Christmas, not just to the baby born to save his people, but to the sometimes very demanding teacher who insists that our salvation demands our transformation, to the mystic and martyr whose certainty is frightening sometimes and costly, to Emmanuel, God with us, and so can't be ignored, even though our lives would sometimes be easier if we only had ourselves to answer to. Joseph didn't know everything he was saying yes to. What father does, after all? And I'm not sure if that makes him more or less brave than we need to be, knowing what we know. We know that this yes leads to the cross, but we also know that through that death, the yes leads to fullness of life. So in this last week before Christmas, prepare yourselves not only for traveling or feasting or singing, prepare yourselves to say yes, to claim Jesus as your own, to give yourself to him, and to discover all that comes next as you follow him through death and into life.